Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips, strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
This is the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about the steps you're missing with intermediate piano students. I feel like a lot of time is given to beginner teaching. I talk about it a lot myself because it is so important. And a lot of time is given to advanced material that people love to talk about, and little nuances and details and really virtuosic technique. But not enough time is always given to the intermediate student. And that is a stage that spans a long time in the overall classification of levels of piano students. Students are going to be intermediate students for a very long time. And they should be, because they need that time to develop their skills. But today I want to talk about three specific things that I think we often miss in that intermediate student stage. The first thing that I think we often miss with our intermediate students is introducing enough choice in a structured, thought out way. So in the beginning stages of study, for most studios, in most scenarios, with most students, we're going to make most of the choices for our students. Not all. Sure, they might have some pieces they pick by themselves or things they specifically want to learn. And this is less true maybe with adult students because they might have more specific ideas. But for our average beginner, we do the choosing. We might do some beginner lessons that are designed around general creative musicianship, and then we might pick out a book that we think fits with them and introduce different things according to our curriculum. Most of it is on us. But a big part of being a musician for life, if you think that's one of your goals for your students, is choosing. Finding repertoire and projects that they want to do and doing them. And when you're choosing from the whole world of everything that you could do, it's actually really hard to make those choices, and harder for some students than for others. So I think we need to gradually build that in as our students progress. For me, this starts with maybe when a student is like late beginner to early intermediate kind of level, like a method book level 2 to 3. They will usually have a supplemental book alongside a method book or other series, and they will choose that. And some students love choosing it, and some students don't really, and there's a lot of shrugging. But I do make them make a choice out of a curated list that I'm giving them. You know, it could be this, this, or this. Which one do you like the best? But I make them make that final call, because they need to flex that muscle. They need to learn to make choices. Again, some students will immediately love this and make the choices and really consider them and be really sure of themselves, and others will be, oh, I don't know, whatever you think, and a lot of shrugging, as I say. But I think it's really important that they make those choices. Now, again, they don't make every choice. I'm curating that list. I'm making sure it's all at an appropriate level where they're going to really enjoy working on it, because it's not too hard or too easy for them. But as we go forward and forward, they make more choices. They start to guide where they're going. They start to decide whether they're on that exam route or competition route or, you know, that kind of stuff. Not that you can only be one or the other, but maybe that is their main goal and they start to go that direction and that guides what we're doing. Or maybe they decide they want to learn more about improv and we go that direction. So they're choosing books and repertoire, but they're also choosing their path through music the further we go down that intermediate stage of piano. The next thing is related to choice, and that is ownership. It needs to feel like their journey. This is why, well, one of the many reasons why I will never, ever take on a student who says they don't want to be there just because their parent says they have to. No. And for a kid, it may be that it's mostly the parent's idea, but the kid's going along with it. That's fine. I'm not saying that's not fine. Parents need to push their kids to try new things sometimes. For a teenager, though, especially one with a bit of experience, for an intermediate student, if they are saying, I do not want to be here, then we're not going to get anywhere. And it's pointless. I mean, it's just pointless. I'm not saying they get to say, oh, I don't want to do this or that, and then we just immediately give up on it. Like they say, I don't want to read music, and they just don't have to read music. There's a debate there. But if they categorically say, I do not want to take lessons, then I'm not going to take them on, because they are distancing themselves from that. From that point on, this musical journey that they're on is just a frog march. Their parent is just pushing them down the road. They're not going to take in anything. I'm not going to be able to bring them around if they are decided against it. But even more than that, with students, regular students who somewhat to very want to be there, they need to gradually get more and more control over what they're doing, choice, so that they develop ownership. They need to have input on this. I am not going to be the driver of that bus forever. Gradually, we're going to move them into the driver's seat, and they are going to take ownership over their own learning. They're going to be the main force eventually. Like, that's the graduating point. They're totally in control of this. They're going to do with music what they want to do with it. I have no part in it once they leave lessons. So there needs to be a gradient towards that. We need to gradually get to that point where they can own their own thing, because they have felt ownership over it all along. I could talk about this all day and come up with so many things that are often missing in intermediate lessons with students, but I've limited it to three. So my last one is lateral moves or breadth of experience. I think quite often, in many places, but I'll use the example of the exam system here in Ireland, we're so focused on getting to the next rung of the ladder. This can happen in other systems. It can happen through competitions or just through general progression through books, okay? But the exam system is a clear example, so I'll use that. For a lot of students here, many, many, many of their parents, is often where this is coming from, the point of piano ends up being, they don't go into it this way. They go into lessons thinking, I want my child to have a musical experience. I want them to blah, 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 blah. But as they progress, the point ends up being they need to get to the next number. They need to be the next grade. And so we get on what we call the exam express, and they do the grade 2 exam, and therefore they are expected to do the grade 3 exam the following year. Not only that, which is already silly, because who says it's exactly 1 year of time between these various levels? It can't be the same length of time for every student, is my point. Not only that, but they often finish grade 2 and want to start immediately on the material for grade 3, because that's the only point of lessons, right? So once you have that foundation in your brain, even though you don't usually know it's there, there's nothing else really to do except do the next thing. Everything else is just messing about. And so it often ends up being viewed that way. Like, we take a break from the exams in order to do the other stuff, but it's much less important and we don't really practice it, and then we just do the next exam. To me, this is all backwards. It's all so entirely backwards. I think there are two much more helpful ways, and they're actually opposites of each other, so I'll explain them, but two much more helpful ways to think about the exam levels. And bear with me, it doesn't matter whether you're doing exams or not. This is just a framework for thinking. We can think, a student is going to sit a grade 2 exam when they are already a grade 2 student. That means that they have already learned plenty of repertoire at a grade 2 standard, and now they are proving that to you. That's one way to think about that. Not incorrect. Often it doesn't work out like that, because exam pieces are often a bit of a stretch. So the student sitting a grade 2 exam is a grade 1 level player, let's say. These things are approximations, but let's just go with it. If the grade 2 exam is going to be a stretch for them, their current playing, the pieces they can already play well, should be a grade 1 standard, because it's going to be a stretch to do grade 2. And generally we learn exam pieces a little bit longer. In my studio, not as long. 3 months is our goal. Still a little bit longer than the average piece, right? To spend working on them, polishing them, really bringing them to a high standard which shows that student at their best. Great. So if that's the case, student who has passed grade 2, that is the start of them being a grade 2 student. Meaning they now need to learn lots more pieces at grade 2, because they need to be able to learn it basically faster They need to get more comfortable at that level before they're ready to then stretch again to grade 3. Again, that's not how things are usually done. We just go from grade 2 to grade 3 to grade 4. But we have to think in one of those two ways, in my view. Either we are already at a grade 2 standard and then we just prove it with an exam, fine. Or we're already at a grade 1 standard, we stretch up to grade 2, and now we have to become at a grade 2 standard before we can stretch up to grade 3. And again, this is not about exams. This could be about like classical collections. You're not going to learn a couple of pieces that are at a level 4 of Jane McGrath's leveling system and then immediately go to level 5 and then immediately go to level 6. You won't have the breadth of experience. You have to get a lot of stuff at that approximate level before you move up. And so the crucial thing that's really missing here for an intermediate student is time. We need to spend time at these various levels. We need to not be rushing through. Again, as I said at the start, intermediate covers everything from, if we go back to Jane McGrath's system, since it's familiar to many people, level 3 to 7, I would say, is usually called intermediate. That's enormous. I mean, if you look at pieces that are in those two categories, that is a vast difference. To give you an example, if you know the Diabelli waltz that's often done, that's in level 3. By level 7, you're getting into like a Chopin prelude, an easier one, like an E minor or B minor or something is in that book. Whoa, that's a gulf. We need to spend time in that area. And that's where the breadth of the knowledge comes from. And that's what is unfortunately often lacking, because we're racing, not usually us, but sometimes us, sometimes the student, sometimes the parent, is racing through those levels to get to some fictitious, imagined end goal that could never possibly exist, because it's just about playing and exploring music, right? So we need to take a step back, ground ourselves in that, and make sure our student spends enough time absorbing things at, quote unquote, their level before they continue to stretch forward. So those are my three top things today that intermediate students are often missing. I would love to hear yours. What have you seen lacking? What have you rushed through by mistake with intermediate students? Let me know in the comments.
One of the awesome benefits for Vibrant Music Teaching members is that they get an exclusive member magazine every month. This magazine brings together our blog articles in a way that is digestible and super actionable. If you want to become a member and get the magazine as well as all the other benefits, you can go to vmt.ninja to sign up.